Morning. Today's daf from Baba Basra is Samech Gimel. We start today on the towards the bottom of Samech Beis and Mid Beis. There are two statements by Rabbah. We did the first one yesterday. I'm going to start again with the first one, and then we'll continue. So we're starting at the two dots right after the word Shuda Dedainai. Amar Rabbah, so Rabbah makes the following distinction. Pagad de Islei Ba'ara. The case is dealing with a person who has a property, but truth of the matter is he's a partner in the property. He only really has 50% of the property. So, and what he wants to do, presumably, seemingly, is he wants to sell it to somebody else. And in the contract, he writes, Paga de Isli Ba'ara. He says, I'm selling you half which I own in the property. So what it sounds like is that he's saying that, look, I have 50% of the property, and I'm selling you that 50% of the property. Basically, I'm selling you whatever I own in the property. So Rabbah gives a very succinct halacha, which is paga. So that means that now he sells half, meaning half of the property, which is all that he owns in the property, is that which is being sold. However, if he says, paga ba'ara di isli, I'm selling you half of the property that I have. So again, like I mentioned yesterday, in other words, even the way the sentence is formulated in English, you can even hear the difference between the first way to say it and the second way to say it. In the second way you're saying it, you're saying, half of the land which I have. So we start off with him only having 50% of the land. He's now selling half of that. So half of half, of course, is a quarter. And that's exactly what Rabbah says, Riva. So under those circumstances, so really what he's selling is a quarter, not a half. What do we have over here right now? What we have is Rabbah making a distinction in language on the very subtle change of where the words isli fall into the sentence. If the isli is going on palga, so that means that what he's selling is the half that he owns. If the isli is going on ara, so that means that I own half the land, I'm selling you half of the land that I own, so it's really modifying the land, which means that since I own half and I'm saying that I'm going to sell half of it, so therefore you're only going to get a quarter. So all this is very good, and all this subtle distinction is very good. Abai doesn't want to hear from any of it. So I'm Rabbaye. Amar Le Abaye, Maishna Hachi, Maishna Hachi. So Abai turns to his Rebbe Rabbah and says, I don't understand. I don't really see a difference between the two languages. Yes, you know, in terms of modifiers. So I try to explain to you the difference between the two, but Abai says, I really don't hear any difference. So Ishtik, so Rabbah didn't respond. Now, yesterday's daf, we had a lot of Ishtik. We had a lot of, yesterday's daf. Rav was quiet. Rav didn't say anything in response. So here, Rav was not saying anything in response to Abai. So Abai interpreted the silence as acquiescence. Oh, must be that he agrees. So Amar Abayana Savi Medishi Kibuli Kabla. So that's what Abai thought. He was quiet. Must be that he accepted my argument that there really is no difference between the two languages. Velohi, but the Gemara points out that that's not true. Meaning, ultimately, Rabbah heard the criticism, and even though he didn't respond to the criticism, he still felt that there was a difference. And Chazina, we actually saw, meaning when I say we, I mean Abai actually saw. Hanu started the Nafka Mi Beimar. That there was his contrast coming out of the court of Rabbah Vikasa Bahuachi, and this is what it says on the documents. Paga de Isle Ba'ara, Paga de Ba'ara de Isle, Riva. That when the document said half of the land, so right, and the word Isle was going on the half, meaning the half that I own in the land. So when faced with such a case, so Rabbah ruled, okay, the seller gets half the land, meaning the entire shares that he owned, that's what he sold. And when the contract said Paga Ba'ara de Isle, half of the land that I have. So that means that he starts off with 50%. He's selling half of that. So Riva, so it turns out, and Rabbah ruled in such a case that he's selling actually a quarter. So what do we have right now? So the first statement to Rabbah, there's a difference between saying the words Paga de Isli Bara versus Paga Bara de Isli. Next case, Amar Rabbah. Next case, the Rabbah deals with the following. A person selling a land. The land is abutting his property. So, in other words, it's his land that's abutting another piece of property that he has. Let's put him, the seller, on the east side of this property. And on the west side of the property is another person who owns another piece of land. So, it's, let's call him Levi. So, where do we stand right now is that he's selling a land that's in between him, his land, and some other party's land. And again, like we discussed at length in yesterday's daf, so when you're selling a property, so you're marking off, you're marking off the borders. So, Rabbah once again is going to note that there's going to be a difference of how much land is sold, based on the subtle distinction of language that's used in writing up the contract. So, Amar Rabbah. Ve'amar Rabba. Sorry, this is now the second statement of Rabba. Meitzar ara demina palga. So, I'm going to give you a land whose border comes out of my land. Meaning, like I described, on the east border, so this land abuts my property. So I'm selling to you it, palga. I'm selling you half of that land. So what's the halacha? Well, actually, it's pretty clear what he's saying. He's saying that he's selling half the land, so palga. So therefore, he's going to be selling half of the land. So, however, if the language that he uses is meitza ara demina psika, that the border of this land that comes out from my land, that abuts my land, psika, I'm only going to give you a portion. He doesn't use the word palga over here, he uses the word psika, which is a portion. So that means that I'm selling you just a small piece of land that abuts my land. Now remember, this land extends, however far it extends, from his property to his neighbor's property. In other words, again, it's his land that he's selling. But he says, I'm only selling you a portion of it. So when it comes to land, so a portion is going to be a share. What is a share? A share is a meaningful amount. And in land, a meaningful amount is tisha kavin. Nine kav, which is, again, measured in volume. That's the amount of seeds that a piece of land you'd be able to plant upon. Fine. But that's all that's sold. So in other words, basically, we're going to go all the way to the west side of this property, and the portion of the property that abuts the Levi side, and we're going to then recede an amount of land, a fair amount of land, a fair share of land, that basically amounts to 9 kabim, and that's it. He's not selling half of the land, he's only selling a share of the land. So tisha kabim. So amalei abayi mashnahachi, and again, abayi's objection is, you know, those two sentences are really not that different from one another. And all we're doing is we're taking out the word palga, we're substituting with the word psika. But really, the truth of the matter is, in both of those statements, really what you're doing is I'm selling part of my land. So the first part you interpret as being half, and the second part you interpret as being just a share. So I don't really see the difference, and I don't know why halachically it's going to make a difference. Ishtik. And again, same construct of Gemara, where Rabbi hears the objection of Abaye, Rabbi has nothing to say regarding the objection of Abaye. So Abaye said, okay, I asked him a question, I don't see the difference, he didn't answer me. It must be that he eventually agreed with me that there's really no difference. Velohi, we turn now to the top of Samach Yom and Aleph, and the Gemara says, but it's not, simply not true. Meaning, Rabbi, even though he heard the objection of Abaye, did not side with Abaye's objection. He says that I heard explicitly from Abaye, Bein Meitzar Ara Demina Palga, Bein Meitzar Ara Demina Psika, whether the statement was, I'm selling you a land that comes off of my land, I'm giving you half of that land, or whether you say, I'm selling you a land that abuts my land, I'm giving you a portion of your land, I amar le ale mitzarna palga, lo amar le ale mitzarna tisha kabin. If I added the words, these borders, into the contract, so then it's going to be half. And if I do not add the words, these borders, into the contract, then it's going to be tisha kabin. What are we doing with the addition of these words? So I turn to the Rashbam. The Rashbam, Yamar Leit Halim Atzarna, this is the top Rashbam on the Amud. He writes, Meitzar Mizrach Ara Dimina Palga Meitzar Mara Ploni V'chein Holech V'choshev Kol Mitzarim V'hilkach Hai V'alin Mitzarana. In other words, you're outlining the borders, and on the east side is my property, and on the west side is someone else's property, and you go and you articulate all four sides of the property, Yisar Lashon Hu. And so, and when you then add the words, and these are the borders, meaning those are additional words, so that's additional language, and Liyafas Kocho. And generally speaking, here's a good rule of thumb. We're going to see this a number of times in the course of today's daf, and over the course of this parak. And that is when you add language into the contract, which is superfluous, seemingly superfluous, the purpose of adding that language is to improve your position. And the Rashbam points out that later on this morning, we're going to see that idea expressed again. That additional language in the contract is there to support and fortify the seller's position. Now, Abaye earlier objected to the idea that there's no difference between saying half versus saying a portion. Ela zimna namrina b'tavaya paga, bein paga bein psika, heichad amar v'ala mitzarana, v'zimna tisha kabim, heichad olo amar v'ala mitzarana. So, and basically what comes out now is that from a bias standpoint, by inserting the additional words of and these are the borders, so they are there to fortify his position. Now, how do you fortify the seller's position? It's very simple. In this case, that is. That is that if by adding these words you're fortifying your position, you're basically saying, look, I'm selling you, but I'm not selling you half, meaning I'm selling you a fraction, a portion, a share of the land. Again, back in those days, what it was considered a share was Tisha Kabin. So by saying, and these are the borders, those are unnecessary statements, you're only selling a share of the land, which is going to be Tisha Kabin. Without saying these are the borders, so then you're selling half the property. And again, from Abai's perspective, Abai didn't see a difference between saying half versus saying psika. Okay. The Gemara continues. We're on Samach Yomam and Aleph. Pshita. The Gemara starts off with the following statement. It's obvious. It's logical. Which Amar Yachlok Ploni Benechsai. Okay, so we're switching gears a little bit. The Rashbam says that we're talking about a Shechiv Meira. So somebody's dying and he is now allocating his estate to various people, and he says as a statement, Yachlok Ploni Benechsai, that a person is going to get a division of my land. So the word yachlok comes from the word chalukah, which means to half. And so essentially what he's saying is that he's giving half of his estate to so-and-so, so the result is going to be palga. So that person is going to be getting half the estate, because that's what he said. And we know that by Shechiv Meira, the moment he says something, his declaration is considered binding. So the recipient now is going to be entitled to half. Okay, and the Gemara starts off with that's obvious. Okay, however, here's where it gets a little bit fuzzy.
He doesn't say what share; he just says share.
But
sharing it.
No, he says yachlok. Yachlok means to divide.
Right.
And generally speaking, we understand yachlok means to divide half. Okay, tenu chelek laploni benachsai. But instead of saying the word yachlok, yachlok means to divide, and that means to split in half. So, and the Gemara says it's obvious that he is giving a half of his estate to whoever he's giving it to. But instead of saying the word chalukah or yachlok, I should say, he's saying rather chelek. And again, chelek could be a share. Well, it could be both. It could either be half or it could be a share. So, tenu chelek laponi benechsai mai. So, what would be the halach under those circumstances? So, I'm Ravina Barkisi Tashma. So, the Gemara says, well, I think we're going to resolve it based on the following brisa. Now, take a look at the Rashbam over here. Tenu chelek laponi benechsai mahu. Mi aminan hai chelek lashon chalukahu upaga kashakil. Your two options are that the word chelek can mean to divide, and therefore the recipient is going to be entitled to half of the estate. O chelek haruli ten kamar v'das basin talu adav l'shar b'kama have chelek rali ten. Or the word could simply mean a share. Well, what is share? What is it? What is going to be a share? So the Rashbam says, well, that will be at the discretion of basin. Basin will make the determination of what is considered a reasonable amount, a share. The Alpha Gav the Tanya Petosefta. Now, the Rashbam over here entertains a issue, which is that there's a Tosefta that seems to address this very question. Obviously, a Tosefta is a Braisa that existed long before the Gemara, and the Tosefta seems to address it straight out. So, I'm not going to go through the entire Rashbam, but just to familiarize yourselves with the Tosefta and see at least one approach of the Rashbam. So, if he says, give a share to so-and-so in my possessions, so, meaning, he actually identifies a person, not a son, and he says, look, I have sons, and I want him, meaning an outsider, to get a share as well. So the Tosefta says, so you know what he's going to get? He's going to get a portion equivalent, commensurate to that of all of the sons. Meaning, whatever every kid is going to get as a share. So this new person, he's basically introducing as a son as well. Well, everyone's share is going to get down a little bit because now what we're doing is dividing the pie. Instead of dividing it by, let's say he had five sons, now he's dividing it by six sons. So instead of everyone getting a fifth, everyone's going to get a sixth. But still, in other words, the Tosefta says very clearly that when he says the word chelek, the understanding of the Tosefta means that which is commensurate to what any one of my sons is getting.
But there's a context here.
So, Ika Lameymar, perfect, that's what the Rashbam says. Ika Lameymar Hachamarika Gondolay Slebani. Yeah. So, in other words, very good. So, we could very simply say that our case under discussion over here is where he doesn't have a son. So, if he doesn't have the son, he doesn't have a son, and he says the word chelek. So, like just like Danny says. So now we don't have any way to contextualize that which he's saying. And since now we're kind of lost in terms of what he meant because there's no context. So then our Gemara now is floundering, not the best way to describe it, but our Gemara is struggling to understand what does the word chelek mean. The Afgav Diisle Yorshin Ba'ama Lo Yav Daita Le Yorshin Acherim VeChelek Haray Litein Ochatzin Echasav Kamar. So, and it's true that, look, his sons may not inherit his Yerusha. Somebody's going to inherit his Yerusha. Everyone has a Yoresh, right? And that's why we talked recently extensively about the Nechse Agir, right? A convert doesn't have a Yoresh, but everyone has a Yoresh. But the Rashbam points out that's true, but when all said and done, when you have sons, it's very clear-cut what a share means. When you don't have sons, so it's not very clear-cut, and so our Gemara could be talking about a scenario in which he has no sons, and therefore we're kind of lost in terms of what he meant with the word chelek. Okay, that's one approach. You'll see further in the Rashbam, he gives another approach in terms of how to understand this. In the meantime, we go back to our Gemara. So, we start off with an obvious statement, which is that if he says, I want to divide my estate, well, division usually comes into two parts, and so therefore what he's doing is he's giving somebody half of his estate. If he says, I want to give somebody a chelik of my estate, so it could either mean that he's giving upwards of half, or it could mean that he's just giving a share, based on the discretion of the court in terms of what would be considered a fair share. Tashma, the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Amar Ravina Bar Kisi Tashma. So the Gemara now is going to look at a Braisa, we're going to look at a Braisa together, and we are going to come to a conclusion based on the Braisa de Tanya. Ha'omer tenu chelek l'ploni b'bor. Okay, so a person makes the following declaration. He says that I'm going to give somebody a portion of my water pit. Now, a portion of my water pit means obviously a portion of the water in the water pit. So, he makes that declaration, he uses the word chelek, and it's unspecified exactly what that means. Does it mean half? Does it mean just simply a share? So, Simchas Omer ain't pachas mirevias. So, Simchas is of the opinion that it comes out to be a quarter. Literally, the words mean no less than a quarter. Okay. What is going on over here is as follows. Again, I turn to the Rashbam. The Rashbam gives excellent guidance over here in terms of how to understand the Gemara. Simchas Omer Ein Pachas Merevias. Simchas is second mid-sized lines, second to last mid-sized lines on the page. Simchas L'tamid Amar B'Perek Shor Shenagach Haseper Chatzin Nesek L'Parav V'Revi L'Avlan U'Mukmin Allah B'Gemara Ali B'De Simchas Amar Man Man Amuta B'Safik Cholkin. Okay. Takes us all the way back to the Gemara Baba Kama, where we learned in the fourth parak, in the beginning of the fourth parak, that Simchas' opinion is that whenever you have money that you may or may not own, may or may not owe, so what we're going to do is, Mamana Mutaba Safik Yachloku. Such money is going to be divided. So the case over there, if you remember, is where my ox gored somebody else's cow, and the cow was pregnant, and the cow miscarried, and we don't know whether the miscarriage took place before or after the goring. Makes a big difference. Meaning if it occurred before the goring, so then I'm going to be financially responsible to pay for the value of the fetus, the fetus which was miscarried as a result of the goring. If it occurred before the goring took place, so then I'm not financially responsible for that, for the NAFO. So, and I don't know. In other words, we simply don't know whether or not the goring took place before or after. So Simchas over there says, well, it's Mamana Muta B'Safek, and the halacha according to Simchas is Yachloku. That instead of paying for half damages, the reason why over there you're paying half is because we're talking about a short time. So the maximum that you would pay is a half. And I don't know if I'm responsible for the fetus. So Simchas over there says you're going to be paying half of half, which is a quarter. Fine. That's all the Gemara Baba Kama, and that teaches us the basic principle of, according to Simchas, Mamana Muta B'Safek Yachloku. It's interesting that the Gemara over here and the Rashbam over here is going to entertain the entire discussion according to Simchas. Meaning, does the halacha follow like Simchas? So generally speaking, we say no. Our Gemara over here, we're going to have to just simply suspend that general assumption that we don't all like Simchas. Our Gemara over here seems to be going like Simchas. Okay, so Let's assume for our purpose that we're going like Simchas, and now let's continue in the Rashbam. Now, where the Rashbam V'hacha, it's the first wide line, a very wide line. V'hacha mesafkina le'ipaga kamar o'chelek v'ama mashu kamar. So a person now is gifting part of the water of his pit to somebody, and we don't know, he says the word chelek, and like we said just a moment ago, we don't know if chelek means half, or if it means a share. And kagon revias alog. Now when we're saying a share over here, what's a share of water? A share of water is close to nothing. It's a quarter of a log. A quarter of a log is what we drink for Kiddush. Okay? It's maybe it's about 4 ounces. It's negligible. It's close to nothing. So Hilkach Enal Makaba Matana Minabor Pachus Mirivia. Vishema Yoser. So now that he gifted and he used the word chelek, so what's the range of what he gifted? It could be upwards of half, because that's what the word chelek means, or it could be as little as a revias alog, which we can really almost put at zero. It's a little bit more than zero, but just to illustrate how these numbers work, we can almost put at zero. So the range is anywhere between half to zero. So if that's the range, and Simcha says, Mama namuta basafik achloku, so therefore, what are we going to do? We're going to split the difference. So therefore, it's somewhere, the range is somewhere between half and zero. The midpoint between half and zero is a quarter. So therefore, according to Simcha, because we're not sure what he meant, therefore, the gift is going to result in being a quarter. Mishum de'ilam v'masafklam b'hai nosin imnasan l'palga o lo klum, and that's exactly what the Rashi says. Right now, the gift is somewhere between half and nothing. So therefore it's going to be half and half of half, which is a quarter. Okay, we'll pause over here in the Rashbam. Fine, that's ruling number one of this brisa. Now the truth of the matter is we really could stop over here, and we got the point. Meaning the point is that we see very clearly from the brisa we don't know what the word chelek means, and that means that according to Simchas, what's going to then happen is that we're going to split the difference between half versus what is considered a fair share. Okay. Well, obviously, we'll keep reading in the brisa. Meaning, we're not going to skip the rest of the brisa. But really, point made. But let's just finish up the brisa. Simchas Omer ain't pachas merivia. I'm sorry, I just read that. Lichavis. Okay. The next stage of the brisa is where I am gifting somebody water, but for his barrel, to fill his barrel. So already, as the Rashbam points out over here, the starting point now, the maximum this gift could be, could already is no greater than a quarter of your pit, meaning nobody needs more than a quarter of a pit to fill the barrel. So the maximum that this gift could be is a quarter. So the Let me do that better. The maximum the gift could be is a half, but he says the word chelek. Now, chelek of a half is a quarter. So now I can say what I said previously. So the maximum that this gift could be is a quarter. On the other hand, the chelek could also mean just simply a share, which again, a share in terms of water could be close to nothing. So again, now the range over here is going to be somewhere between a quarter and zero. So if that's the range, and Simcha says that take that range and split the middle, so then it's going to be an eighth. Ein pachos mishminis. Good, that's exactly what he says. So therefore the gifter is going to result in an eighth of the pit. Likidera, if the gifter says, I'm only going to be giving you water, a portion of the water for your pot. So again, how much of a pit is used for a pot? So the maximum that's going to be used for the pot is going to be a third. And now, again, half of that, because he said chelek, and half of that, because we don't know. So therefore, it's now a quarter of a third, which comes out to be a twelfth. So, ein pachos miyud beis. That's, again, that's exactly what the brisa says. And finally, le tefiach. Tefiach is a cup of water. How much of a pit is necessary for a cup of water? So, you only need a quarter for that. Now, again, we're going to do the same thing. He says a portion of that, a portion could either be upwards of a half of that, either half of a quarter, or it could be close to zero. So, again, the range now is somewhere between an eighth and The range is in either be somewhere between an eighth and zero. And what's the, and we're going to split the difference. So ein pachus mishisha starts, so therefore it's going to be a 16th. Okay, what have we gotten from all this brisa? I mean, the second, third, and fourth cases in the brisa don't really introduce anything new to us. It basically is reviewing the idea that when I make a gift and I say it's going to range, I say I'm going to give a chelek, so it could either be half or it could be zero. Again, I don't really mean zero, but I mean close to zero. And according to Simchas, we're going to split the difference. And the point, the upshot of this Gemara is that we don't know what the word chelek means when used in the context of giving. It can either mean half or it can mean simply just a share. Tana Rabbanan. The Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes the following: Raisa ben Levi shemachasad liYisrael. We have a the son of a Levi selling. Son of a Levi is a Levi. All right, just making sure everyone's clear about that. Okay, but a son of a Levi is selling a land, and he's selling it to a Jew. He's selling it to Yisrael, the Amar Lo, and he says to him this follows: Amenasha Maisa Rishon Shali. Here's what I'd like. I'd like that. Look, I know out of every land, 10% is given to a Levi. I'd like to be that Levi. And so what I'm telling you right now is that I'm going to retain. Now I'm kind of giving away the Gemara coming up ahead. I don't mean to do that, but that's what's going to happen. I'm going to retain 10% of the land for me. So my Sarisha Shalom. So therefore now he's going to be the beneficiary of my Sarisha. So says the Braisa. Now that is it's strange for a couple of reasons, this Braisa. Generally speaking, let's start off point number one. Point number one is that when you're giving Maaser Rishon to a Levi, so yes, you're giving 10% to a Levi, that part's true, it's the Levi of your choice. Meaning you get to choose the Levi that you want. That's the power of allocation. That's what the Gemara describes in many places as Tova Sana. You have that ability to choose. Basically, in the sale, the Levi is telling you, oh yeah, you know who that Levi is going to be. That Levi is going to be none other than me. So,
the condition of the sale.
Was in the contract. Oh, good, good. So, in other words, So it is a little bit strange that he's identifying himself as a Levi when, generally speaking, the person has a choice of doing so. But we're going to say right now that, okay, choice made. Meaning, by him agreeing to the sale of the land, so basically he's saying, yeah, you're right. I'm going to choose you as my. As my Levi. The Rashman points out over here that in terms of such a sale, we don't have to, the case over here doesn't have to be where the Levi is the seller. Take a look at the Rashman, but Levi Shemachar. Orcha de Milsanaka de Derech ben Levi Amocher Sadlos Yisrael Asnos Kach. The Gemara is just illustrating a case which is probably what's usual, what's normal that would happen. Meaning that when a Levi has land and he's selling the land, being that he's in this kind of leveraged position, where he can negotiate this way, so of course he's going to do so. Mishum de lo mozo gabe, mishum haitanai, mi de dezen ene vizeno chaser. And the Rashbam says beautifully, look, in other words, why is he in such a good position? Because anyway the buyer's got to give 10% to a Levi. So the truth of the matter is that the fact that the buyer has forfeited 10%, it's not 10% that he wouldn't have lost anyway. He would have lost it anyway. He has to give the 10% to a Levi. So, really, what the seller's doing is, it's beautiful, it's really smart. I'm selling you something, and I'm holding 10% for myself, but anyway, you would have had to have parted with that 10%. So really, to you, this represents no loss. What the Gemara describes is zen ene vezelo chaser. So here, the seller gained, and the buyer didn't lose that at all. Debelav hachi, hava yavla lukech lahai meiser, olo, ola acher. He'd have to give the 10% to somebody, either to the seller or to somebody else. Deha ein lo bo ela tova sana. And like I described earlier, the Rashbam here points it out. Yeah, the only difference now is that his choice has been made. But again, like I said earlier, he made the choice. And you can also, the Rashbam says, you could just as well negotiate this as a regular sale of property between Yisrael to Yisrael, where I can say now to the buyer, look, I love that ability where I was able to exercise which Levi I'm going to give it to. So I'll sell you the land. I'm going to keep 10% for myself, meaning obviously I can't hold it because we're designated as Meiser, but I still want that ability to choose who it's going to go to. So the Rashbam says that would work there as well. Let's go back to the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. I'm going to start again. Right in the middle of Samachil Mamad Aleph, the Gemara starts off with a Braisa. Ben Levi Shemachasad Lisov Amalam Menashe Maestro Rishon Shali, Maestro Rishon Shalom. Okay, the Maaser Rishon belongs to him. The Im Amar Li Ulavanai. Now, if in the contract he says the Maaser Rishon is going to go to me and it's going to go to my children, so basically I want to be able to transfer this gift giving to my children as well. Maasi Ten Levanav. So very good. So now that he stipulated that in the contract, so now the Maaser Rishon is not only going to be given to him, but upon death it's going to be given to his sons as well. The Im Amar Lo Kolz Manshe Hasad Zubiyadecha. If, let's say, in the contract he says, look, the miser is going to be earmarked for me, and as long as the property is in your hand, once you sell the property, so then this right goes away. So in other words, the property is this right that I have is exclusively mine, but only while you own the property. Machra v'chazav alacha ain lo alav klum. So let's say now he turns around, sells it to a second party, or I guess a third party, you would say, and then he buys it back from him. So that's it. In other words, now the agreement now has come to a conclusion. Once it's sold to somebody else, so that finalizes, that ends the negotiated miser giving, and therefore, even when the original person buys it back, so it's over. So now, the Gemara is bothered by a really simple question. Wait 1 second, how can all this work? Meaning, basically, what I'm doing is I'm negotiating a benefit on the sale, but a benefit that has not yet come into fruition. In other words, I'm buying my Maisa rights, but Maisa rights that are coming a year from now, 2 years from now, etc., etc., etc. How can I buy something that is not yet in this world? Machlokus between the Chacham and Rameir, whether Adam Makna Davashla Bala Olam. Generally speaking, we assume like the Chacham, Ain Adam Makna Davashla Bala Olam. So how can the Levi buy the rights to the Meiser? So the Gemara's answer, which I gave away already, but let's read inside. Kevin Damarle Amanasha Meiser Rishon Shali, Shiyure Shire Lamaka Meiser. By saying the word Amanas on condition that the Maaser Rishon Shali, so that means that really what he's doing is that he's retaining the Maaser. Meaning that it's not that he's actually selling the entire property and then buying back the Maaser. In other words, the way to view the structure of the deal is that what he's really doing is that he is selling 90% of the land and he's retaining 10% of the land for himself for the purposes of Maaser. Now, Ben points out, even the way the Gemara expresses it, it's going to be very difficult for us to take the words retain super literally. If he's really retaining the 10%, and he just sold the 90%, so that means now that he is not getting Maaser Rishon.
Right.
In other words, in order for Maaser to be Maaser, it has to be coming from some other entity to you. So even the word retention over here, I know the Gemara says Shiri Mishayer, which means that it's retaining, but we're not to take that so super literally. It just simply means that because the land originally belonged to the Ben Levi, and now he's selling it with the condition that it's going to go to him, it's not offending the rule of Davar Shelo Bala Olam, considering the fact that it originally belonged to him. In terms of the sale, you have to say that really, of course, he's selling the entire land, and he's only receiving, and he's receiving Maaser, because without the word receiving, it's not Maaser. So he's receiving it. It's just that he's able to do so because the land originally belonged to him, and it's not offending the rule of Davar Shelo Bala Olam. Okay, I get that part's tricky, and hopefully I explained it well, but it's basically balancing the idea that he's able to do this, meaning make a transaction on a future, based on the fact that it originally belonged to him, but at the same time, we're still going to have to view the sale as a complete sale. Okay, anyway. The Gemara Amar Reish Lakish Dos Ameris. So Reish Lakish says, so what do we have over here? We have now in this braisa that we just learned together a halacha that's been taught to us, and that's the following. Take a look at the very bottom Rashbam over here on the page, Dos Ameris. Braisa Zudashmin, the Chotanai, She'ino Lomala V'lo Marin, Elaim Kein Shire, Amrina Shire Makom La'atzma Porta Mina. I'm sorry, La'atzma Porta. So what basically this Ben Levi is doing is he's retaining something for himself. But the truth of the matter is that it's anyway an entitlement that he looks to receive. Now again, it doesn't have to be that the buyer is going to give his 10% to the seller. of course it doesn't have to be that way, but nobody lost in this negotiation. And again, I repeat what the Rashbam said earlier. Yes, it's true the buyer lost Tova Sana, but okay, that's, you know, it's a nice benefit.
Intangible.
But in other words, that's right, it's an intangible benefit. But in terms of real and tangible benefits, nobody lost anything. So, So basically now, as the Rashbam is previewing the upcoming Gemara, basically we're going to say it's as follows. That if we are looking at a negotiation between a seller and a buyer, and the seller writes a clause in the contract, which anyway would not have represented a loss to the buyer, there must be some meaning behind that which he's writing into the contract, which seemingly is meaningless. Meaning a meaningless / superfluous statement that's written into the contract must have additional meaning to it. Now, what is going to be that additional meaning? So that's what we're going to try to do. Extend this idea that you writing superfluous language in a contract that, quite frankly, never needed to have been written over there must have some sort of meaning. Now, if this sounds familiar, it should, because that's how we started off today's daf with. We start off today's daf with this idea that yisur lashon, that additional language in the contract, obviously is there to fortify and to strengthen the position of the seller. And that's basically now what we're saying in the Gemara. How are we saying it in the Gemara? So, I'll stop here in the Rashbam. I go back to the Gemara, and we're going to read a couple of examples of this in the Gemara. So we're on the very bottom of Samech Gimel Amad Aleph. I'm Rish Lakish Asameres. I'm Ocher Basa Chaver. I'm Aloha Menashe Duta Aliona Shali. You know what I'm retaining for myself? I'm retaining the roof. Now, you remember the Mishnah?
Right.
Just a couple of days ago, we learned in the Mishnah that when you sell a house, the roof is not included. Now, again, I know that's strange. You know that's strange. But, again, that's because our general language used nowadays is not the same as it was back in the time. But if you're selling a house generically, the rooftop was not included in the sale. It's retained by the buyer. And what you did is you wrote that into the contract. So that was unnecessary. Because even if you had not written that into the contract, the roof would have been retained by you. So here we go now with a good illustration of language that didn't need to be written into the contract anyway. So now it serves to you as to fortify your position. So let's see it inside. So now you get the roof. But the Gemara asked the obvious question. Samach Yom Amud Base, top of the Amud. Lamai Hilchasa. Now you get the roof. You would have gotten it anyway. So what does that mean, you get the roof? That obviously means you get the roof and then some. So we're just now trying to clarify what's the then some. So Rav Zvid, Amar Hashem, Ratzalotzi, Bazizim, Motzi. So it means as follows. Not only do you get the roof, but you also get the ability to take things and protrude it outside of the roof. Meaning, you don't not only get usage and ownership and retention of the rooftop, but let's say now you want to have a beam protrude out of the rooftop. Even though that beam is going to be hanging over the person's house, by you writing into the contract, and I get the rooftop, so you get that ability as well. That's the additional bonus that you get. Rav Papa Amar Shem Rasa Livnos Aliyah Al Gaba Bona. Rav Papa says, no, you get much more than that. What you get is not only the rooftop, but in the event that the rooftop caves in and collapses, so we're going to rebuild the rooftop, and not only going to rebuild the rooftop, but that rooftop maintains and continues to be yours. Meaning, look at the Rashbam, third Rashbam on the Amud, Rav Papa Amar. Kulei hai lo ahani tanai l'shari makom yamasha macher ela lahachi ahani tanai hamiyusar. So the way the Rashbam presents it is that Rav Papa doesn't agree with Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid says that you can have protrusions coming off the rooftop. Rav Papa says, no, you can't. You can't have protrusions coming off the rooftop, meaning you retain the rooftop, but just the rooftop. So what does this additional language benefit you? Shim rots the livnos diutazu im tipol al gabav shal abayis bonem. V'havi hachi masik l'kamen. As the Gemara itself is about to illustrate in just a moment. That rooftop remains yours in perpetuity. Even collapsed and even rebuilt, it's yours. Meaning, let's say you did not include that clause in the contract, and you did not say, "And I'm retaining the rooftop." What would have happened? The Rashbam explains. Yes, as long as the rooftop is in existence, so it's yours. Avalim tipolo yachzav yivneno agabe bayis shalze talachti yuta hu dishtabed lebayis avalid yuta acheres lamishtabed. You see, even though you retain the rooftop, you only retain that rooftop had you not written the additional language. And if that rooftop would have collapsed, that's it, that you lost it. And if it would have rebuilt, it would have gone to the buyer, not to you. This additional language now, what it provides for you is perpetual ownership of the rooftop even after it collapses. Okay. Stop here on the Rashba, and we continue back to the Gemara. So, Bishlam al Rav Zvid, Haini Diktani Zosameris. Now, Rav Zvid is saying a big chiddush, because Rav Zvid says not only do you get the rooftop, but because of the additional language where he said, I keep the rooftop to myself, which again is superfluous, which is again there to teach us that you get some sort of additional benefit. Rav Zvid really, really gives a big wallop in terms of what you're getting as an additional benefit. The ability to have beams suspending off the side of the rooftop, and on those suspended beams, you're probably going to hang things off those suspended beams into basically right in front of the house of the buyer. Like that's a big chiddush. So the Gemara points out, according to Rav Zvid, I understand why we really are learning out a big chiddush. El Rav Papa Mai Zosameris. But according to Rav Papa, Zosameris, meaning it's such a big chiddush, it's not as big a chiddush. So the Gemara is what? Yeah. Kasha, the Gemara says, okay, that's very, okay. The Gemara admits that for a papa, it's not as big a jump in terms of what we learned. Amar of Dimi Menarda, I am on the Mizban Le Beis Lechavre Afagav de Kasavlei. A person selling a house to his friend, and he writes in the language of the contract, Kavaruma. I'm going to get the depth, I'm going to get the height. Tzarech Lemichtavlei, still, that's not enough. Meaning, in order for the seller to give up anything more than the house, you have to additionally write Kinilach Metahom Arava Ad Rom Rekia. You must also add that you're going to get from the earth until the heights of the heaven. Meaning that even with writing the words Kavaruma, that's simply insufficient in terms of what is generally sold in the house. Like we said in, you know, the daf 2 days ago, and like we're repeating today. When you're selling a house, you're selling just that, just the house. Nothing below the house, nothing above the house, not even the rooftop. And even using the words umkavaruma is not going to give you anything additional to the buyer. You must add the words to hom ara ad romakia. My taima, to umkavaruma bestamalokani. So the Gemara says, now, as far as umkavaruma, so what did that do? Meaning, if that doesn't create any further acquisition, what's the purpose of writing it? Ani umkavaruma lemikne, umkavaruna vahani mitahom ara ad romakia lemikne, bor vedusa mechilos. Kavaruma just allows to facilitate the sale, and to home ara and Rome Rakia is there so that now the buyer would be able to purchase an underground pit. Okay, so basically what we have over here in our Gemara is that the words Kavaruma as written into a contract in the sale of the house doesn't really benefit the buyer at all. It doesn't add anything to the buyer's purchasing. Only when you add the additional clause of from the depths of the earth to the heights of the heaven, then and only then is the buyer going to be receiving additional the subterranean ground and the airspace above. So Lema Misayele, the Gemara says, well, let's take a look at Tamar's Daf. In Tamar's Daf, we're going to be learning a Mishnah together. The Mishnah says, Veloos Abor, Veloos Ados, Afa Pishikos of La Kavaruma. So the Mishnah, Tamar's Daf, says it actually pretty clearly. Even when the words Kavaruma are written into the contract, that's not going to allow the buyer to actually receive the pit. Isak Adacha Bistamakani Kavaruma. So the Gemara says, now if Kavaruma is going to create an acquisition, Lehani Kavaruna Lemikne Bor Vidos Mechilos. So the language of Kavaruma should allow for the purchasing of even subterranean. So the Gemara's suggestion is Delo Kasavle. So the Gemara makes almost like an incredible suggestion. Well, maybe the proof is not foolproof, and maybe the language is not written into the contract, the language of Kavaruma. Gemara says that's really difficult. Yeah, but the Mishnah actually says even though it was written, Hachi Kamar. The Gemara says, okay, this is how we'll have to read the Mishnah. Afa pisha lo kasav lo, even though Kavaruma was not written in, kemisha kasav dami lemikne Kavaruma. So the Gemara says, even when it's not written in, we view it as if it's written in so that you acquire the house, but that's it, just the house. Nothing additional to the house. So, but if you want to buy anything subterranean, so then, but maybe, again, the Gemara is just simply being argumentative. Maybe if you wrote the words, maybe if you wrote those words, maybe that could acquire for you the subterranean pit. So the Gemara is just being a little bit argumentative at the end, but the Gemara is positing is that even with the words umkavruma, the height and the depth, or the other way around, the depth and the height, that only still gets the buyer only the house, nothing above it, nothing below it. You must add additional language of ad to home. Where's the language? Ad rom rikia. I'm sorry, I was right the first time. Tahom arav ad rom rikia. Right. Only with that extra language do you get anything below the ground and above the rooftop. And even though the Mishnah on tomorrow's daf seems to be very supportive of this idea, the Gemara deflects and the Gemara says you don't have to read the Mishnah that way. Okay. Just quickly recap. We finished today the two statements of Rabbah, who makes distinctions between various languages used in the contract. Abaye in both times objected to Rabbah's fine, subtle distinctions. The Gemara tries to get its head wrapped around the idea of the word Yachlok for sure means to divide into two. What does the word Chelek mean? Does it mean a division into two? Does it mean just simply a share? The Gemara doesn't know, and the Gemara quotes a braisa where Simchus also doesn't know, and based on Simchus's principle of when I have a doubt, we're going to split the difference. So then we're going to split somewhere between what is considered half versus what is considered a fair share. And then with the Gemara discussed the braisa where the Levi sells a property but is retaining 10% for himself, so that's it's a successful sale. It's actually part of the clause of the sale, and it means now that he is going to be able to get the Meiser if he delineates that his children are going to get it, they're going to get it as well. If he limits that right to only as long as the buyer has the land, so then the rights only extend while the buyer has the land. And then the Gemara went into a discussion which really took us the rest of today's daf. What is the case when I write additional language into the contract, which is unnecessary, which is superfluous? What is it doing? And the general idea is there to benefit the seller, not the buyer, and it gives the sellers additional rights. What are those additional rights? So we had a small discussion at the end of today's daf in terms of what are those additional rights are.